Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
This is a long, high spiral. Horton back at his own five. Gets one block, gets two blocks, turns upfield, got some running room across the 30, 35. Oh. He may go 40. What a block. Midfield 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Mr. Horton, touchdown, Seahawks.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
The ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's blocked! It's blocked! It's picked up by the Eagles. Running with it is Davis. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Game over! Jordan Davis.
Are you kidding me?
Locked him again.
Are you kidding me?
Locked him again. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, the Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody.
What is happening?
How was your weekend?
Well, other than watching a Rams plus 3.5 bet go up in flames, pretty solid. Other than the worst beat of my entire life.
But this show's just turning into gambling complaints.
Yes, it is. When you lose that way, yes, it is. A loss is a loss. That's not a loss. Come on, man.
It's like golf. There's no story on the scorecard.
That one, I wear my Sprague and the Line wins and losses on my sleeve. It like ruins my mood for a good 15 minutes. And that one knocked me out for a while. That was pretty brutal yesterday.
That one wasn't great, Bob.
No, to watch a team block a field goal and run it back for a touchdown when his fat ass could have just fallen down at any point. The game's over. There's no time left on the clock, and I cover the spread.
I think what I like about it the most is I'm realizing in real time that you had that game, and I'm like, he's sitting in the perfect position.
Yeah.
Win or lose, he wins.
I win. It's great.
And then that happens, yeah. And I started laughing loudly in my house, and my
Thank
wife
you for
goes,
that.
You're a child. And I go,
Thank you for that.
I go, no. You don't understand what
you
just
don't get
happened.
It. You don't get it.
One of the most rare things of all time that yes. possibly could happen. It reminded me of Stanford UCLA with
yes.
Solomon Thomas.
Yes.
Sacking UCLA.
Yeah.
Which I believe at that point anybody betting would have been perfect because Stanford
Game's
wins.
Over. Yep.
UCLA or Stanford covers. I couldn't remember who it was.
Right.
But because he scooped and scored,
right.
half of the people watching then
no,
suddenly
no,
all lost.
No! Just yelling at my television, please go down. I literally thought to myself as he lined up for the field goal, man, I'm great. If he misses it, I win. If he makes it, I win. And I get to make fun of the Eagles. This is like a win-win scenario. Dirt's feeling fantastic right now. The only thing that can't happen is a block. Oh, no. Oh, no. There he goes. Yeah, touchdown. Yep.
Once
yep.
the guy got pushed out of the way.
Oh, just there's no yeah. chance they're catching him. Like, thanks a lot, NFL, for letting him fall in the draft because we're scared about a speeding violation. Get
no, that
here.
Was Jordan Davis. That wasn't Jalen
oh, that
Carter.
Wasn't Jalen Carter. Touche. Different Georgia
teammate.
Bulldog. Different yeah. big, fat Georgia Bulldog that ran it back.
Yeah, the other fat Bulldog.
Yeah, other than that, I had a phenomenal weekend. What about you guys?
It was fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was too hot.
Yeah, it was too hot. I'm done. Are you done with it? I'm ready.
I'm not ready for what Sunday morning was.
Sunday morning
pissing
was
rain.
Wet. It was a little chilly and raining,
but it was glorious.
I loved it. I'm all
really?
For it. I did, yeah.
I find,
went for a walk, had the sweatpants on and the sweatshirt on before the 10 a.m. slate.
I don't like walking
off.
The dog in rain.
Oh, it was great.
I hate it.
By the time I left the house, it was done raining. So it was just the leftover rain that was on the ground.
Oh, so you were in your house for most of the morning, because I don't think it stopped raining. Maybe in my area it didn't stop raining.
I didn't stop raining until noon in Seattle.
Yeah, about that here at my house.
Yeah, we were done a little after 9 a.m. down in the Southeast Portland area. Yeah, yeah, it was not raining when we went for our walk.
I don't understand our weather at all. I don't.
It's
fall
here. It'll change. It's just like the
spring.
But
we're 20 minutes apart from each other, and his rain is ending at like 9 a.m.
Not every band of showers is that wide, buddy. You got a little pocket that lasts a little bit longer in your neck of the woods.
Well, that sucks. Ours didn't end until almost noon, 1 o'clock.
That's a long.
And then the sun randomly just burst out. It's like, I'm here.
Here we go. Let's get warm out again. It's going to be like 85 degrees tomorrow. I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm
out. It's going to be nice all week.
End of September above 80. No, thank you.
Well, you know what today is, right?
Today's the first day of fall,
first
I believe.
First day of fall.
Yeah, happy fall, everybody.
Fall ball.
You get your pumpkins out? You got your Halloween spookies up yet?
Yes and no. There's stuff up, but like my wife took it out 3 weeks ago, and she just stopped. Then she just like left a mess out, and then eventually she put it away, and then she put it back in the closet. I'm like, are you going to... You decorate?
At any point, did you get one of these, like, we should do something about this mess lines? Because that usually happens to me in the middle of our decorating. Like, we need to clean this up. It's like, yes, we do. Because I definitely brought all of this stuff out and started decorating the entire house.
I don't do that because I'm similar with Christmas. I will slowly roll out at the end of November. Mm. And then eventually I'll just spend a whole Saturday doing it.
You got to do one day. Just knock it all out.
Right.
Get it over with.
Yeah. But I didn't want to put that pressure of like, put this stuff away. Are you going to decorate? What are we doing?
Are you all done yet? There's more stuff in that bin.
I didn't want to,
Not all of your pumpkins are out yet.
Well, we have these to-do list boards that she just recently purchased. They look like an Amazon purchase, which, hey, they're back in my life. So, of course, all the random crap is in my house.
You got to watch Thursday Night Football. Now you're going to get packages every other day.
It's ridiculous.
Congratulations.
But there's these to-do lists, and so you can write in a blank space, but next to it is an X, and then there's a plastic thing that when you're done, you slide it over, and then there's a green check.
So it's like you're knocking
Here's
it off
the list.
Here's
your 10 things you need to do every day.
Get your to-do list done.
And I got my to-do list done
Look
yesterday.
Look at you, your Sunday to-do list.
Well, you know, I used to live in a world where I didn't want to miss a second of the red zone or the main game I'm watching. And now I'm kind of to a point where I'm like, these are good games. But me being gone for 2 minutes isn't going to change much.
No, it's also the beauty of the NFL that every game essentially starts at the same time. So you kind of have your win. It's not like college football is a little more difficult because they're so spread out and you never know when a game's going to end and when it's going to get good. It can hit at random times.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when the NFL, the 10 a.m. games kick off. I usually spend a little bit of time in the first half of those games getting some things done for the day that I didn't in the morning because it's the first half of the opening slate. I make sure I'm in front of my TV for the witching hour and you don't miss any second of the fourth quarters and all the block field goals. And then you kind of get that next gap when the 1 o'clock games kick off. I don't need to see every second of the start of those games. Seattle was up 80-0 4 minutes into that thing. I don't need to see Seattle, New Orleans.
No.
So then I check a few more things off the list and then you watch the end of the 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, I had a soccer game Saturday and it started around the same time as a Civil War, and there were a couple other dads and parents with their phones out like I did.
Kind of watching the game, looking down, watching the game.
Watching it, looking up. Oh, nice kick. Okay. You got the ball. Oh, nice kick. Okay. Looking down.
Did anybody randomly cheer for the Beavers touchdown, not realizing they were cheering a moment that shouldn't be cheered for in the soccer game?
No.
Yes! Everybody looks, what? What do you watch? Oh, Beaver game.
No, not a lot of that, but what felt weird was it felt like it was 95 degrees sitting in that sun watching soccer on dead grass, hard pan dirt, and I'm like, every kick, the ball just rolled out of bounds because it was never going to get stopped.
It's not stopping.
And so watching it, I'm sitting there thinking like, I know at some point during this soccer season, I'm going to really be pissed about how much I missed rain, because then it'll be raining and I'll be in it and be like, oh, I wish it was nice out.
You'll definitely have that moment at some point.
I just want an in-between. Can I get an overcast in 62?
62 and cloudy.
That would be perfect for me sitting in
but
a soccer
dry.
Game.
But dry. Cloudy, dry.
Preferably dry.
62. It's a little bit chilly, so it's nice. Feels good. You get your feel-goods on.
Maybe it rains before the game starts and then stops right as I get there. So like the grass is getting greener.
Now we're talking. It's a little dewy in the morning. You're not running around in that wet grass. You kid is. Who cares if they get wet in the grass? It's all good.
I want my life to be perfect. That's basically what I'm telling you right now.
You're not wrong. There will be a moment when I look back and think, God, I'm an idiot. Why did I beg for this hot, nice weather to end because it's rained for 17 consecutive days and the high hasn't gotten above 45? I'm fully aware of what I'm complaining about. I know what's on the horizon. I've long maintained I just need, like, once you get through the New Year's, like, holidays, like the end of the year and you're into January, February, that's when I get depressed about the weather. There's nothing that really depresses me weather-wise October, November, December, even if it's nasty and cold.
Well, you at least
and
have
rainy.
A holiday.
But
you've got something
stuff.
Going on in
There's
your
stuff,
life,
right? You're decorating for Christmas. Yeah. You got the music playing. You're feeling good. There's Halloween. There's Thanksgiving. There's things that get you through that. By the time you get to, like, the end of January, that's when the weather depression hits.
The mid-February football is now over.
Yes.
And you're like, all I have is 500 Blazer basketball and nothing else.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And the nice weather's 4 months away. Yeah, that's when the depression hits.
Even spring break doesn't really hit. You're like, what, am I going to travel the same time as everybody else and pay double the prices as everybody else?
Just to go somewhere warm and sunny because it's cold and rainy
for
here.
A week?
Right.
No, I'm not going to do that at all.
Let's go down to Arizona. What are the prices? No, not going to do that.
Steph Curry amount of days away from the tip-off of your Portland Trailblazers.
Shout out to Steph Curry, man. Not a top 10 player all time.
Thought about Sam Bowie here.
Ooh, could have gone that way.
Yeah, I thought about it.
Is he our best... best 3-0 ever?
No, Rashidis.
No.
Oh, yeah, touche. I'm really bad with numbers. I'm learning that throughout this.
Well, I mean, there's some numbers
I forget.
There's
two of them that are retired as well, not named Rashid.
Yeah, Terry Porter and Bobby Gross.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely knew that.
Now, I probably have asked this twice or more on the show in the history of the show.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, Swag, like, the process of that number getting retired, was it Bobby had it retired and then Porter came in, asked for it, got it, and then he got
it
retired.
They hadn't retired Bobby Gross's number,
but they had retired every other 77
pretty much.
So then they went back and retired his?
Okay.
What a weird process.
It was a weird process.
It's also, it's got to be one of the more unique things in all of pro sports for a team to have two people with the same number retired.
How many teams have that?
I looked this up once because I remember thinking how bizarre I thought it was.
Did the Yankees,
the Yankees, I don't think, have double dipped.
Because Jeter was two, but wasn't Yogi Berra two?
You would be better, sir. You were at those games. You'd be able to.
He was number eight, not number two.
Who was number two? Okay.
I don't think the Yankees are a team that double dipped Chip.
They seem like the kind of team that when they retire a number, they take it seriously and it's done right away.
You ain't asking anybody for that number.
You're not getting, they know the number is going to get retired. Right. And they don't do the Brandon Roy thing of you can't wear it, but it's not retired.
It's retired, but it's not retired.
It's kind of pseudo retired right there. Okay. Don't you touch that number seven.
Will they ever retire number seven, you think?
I think they will.
But, like, what are we waiting for then? Because this weekend, Lillard had Pioneer Square at Courthouse Square.
I actually think that's one of the things, when the new owner actually takes control, that might be one of the feel-good things that they see.
Like an easy welcome to Portland win for them?
Here's a layup for you. Mm. Why don't you get this done and get everybody on your side?
Hmm. Yeah, there is one double-dip number.
I tell me who it is.
For the Yankees. But you were right on one of the players. Yogi Berra is a double-dip at number eight. Who's Bill Dickey is the other player at number eight.
Bill Dickey, there you go.
Who could forget Bill Dickey?
Bill Dickey.
Well, broke in 1928 to 1946.
My brother-in-law is a Dolphins fan, and he's like, oh, football season's still happening?
It's still going on.
He's waiting for Blazer season to start. It's a long road for him.
You got a long ways to go, buddy.
It's a loaded show. We got a unique daily ticker today at 7:30. We're going to hear from four coaches. Yeah, I think four coaches.
Sounds about right.
We'll start with a Northwest peekaboo. We'll get into the NFL slate, college football, the biggest takeaway from the weekend. It is a loaded show. Let's get it going. Thanks for being with us on a Monday. We start with the Northwest Civil War peekaboo next on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan. I don't know if there is a better public reading scenario of what the Civil War was this year than showing up to a soccer game in Damascus, Oregon, and seeing some Bee fans and Duck fans.
Yeah.
And hearing a lot of,
you know, it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
And that's kind of it.
That kind of sums
it
up.
And I was like, you know what? Thank you, Tina.
Yes.
I think you're right there.
It's a little bit better than I thought. It wasn't as ugly as it could have been.
I heard one of these at the Snack Shack.
Hey.
Just grabbing a Slurpee during a soccer game.
Could be way worse than this.
I'm like, oh, my.
You're not wrong.
I enjoyed this takeaway I saw tweeted. You know, quick takeaways. Oregon's very good. Not sure they're quite natty material, though. Beaver defense much better today. Defensive line better. Tackling solid. Offense, though, a complete mess. Regressing. Murphy not sharp. Play calling all over the place. And I'm like, you...
When was that sent to us, like, the four-minute mark of the first
that
quarter?
That is at the end of the game. That was a Beaver Blitz tweet at the end of the game.
Didn't the Ducks put up over 500 yards of offense?
Almost six. Yeah, they put actually almost six.
Yeah, yeah.
Closer to six, I think, than
585
five.
Yards yeah. of offense. They had 305 passing yards and 280 rushing yards.
I'm coming in Monday. I'm not coming in hot. I gave all my hot takes the last couple weeks. I'm coming in very confused by narrative-based things on that game. I watched the first half twice, and I watched the game live. And I got a lot of texts at the half of like, solid effort. Look at the effort. The effort's there.
I had a lot of texts that were the opposite of that. Where is the effort? And they care?
I went, they're down 14 to a team who literally looks like they don't care about this game at all. But effort? That's where we're at with that program
now.
That's
the one we're looking for.
Hey, they decided to play football during a football game. Because that's what it's going to be again this week on Friday is, you know, they played.
They were hard.
They showed up.
Played hard.
Strapped those helmets on. They played. I was very confused by a lot of the takeaways, like the defensive thing. Look, I understand the offense blew chunks. The offense is broken. They don't have an offensive line. Their quarterback doesn't appear to fit what the system is. They don't have any receivers. I mean, God bless Trent Walker and the local story. I haven't heard his name, I feel like, in 3 weeks.
No.
The run game is irrelevant, doesn't exist, right? There's a lot of things about the offense that don't help the defense. I also, like, are you guys reacting to, like, two possessions and then just concluding that the defense is good? I'm very confused by all of it.
And they forced a couple of punts in the first half. Not many teams have done that to Oregon this year. So maybe that's the moral victory that they were looking for, that they forced punts or that they held field goals in the second half instead of touchdowns. And that's the reason they ended up covering the 35-point spread. Like, Oregon actively tried to not cover that spread at the end of the game, I felt like. Just needed one more touchdown to get north of the 35. It was... I didn't need any more... indicator of I don't know if I want this game to happen for a while than what transpired this weekend.
Like, I had the opposite.
Did you? I talked to some people in the stadium. They said the atmosphere was dead. I think Oregon sideline was clearly not engaged in. Like, they were as lethargic as
much orange.
Not a lot of orange in the stadium.
Take the band out of it. I just see like a t-shirt every here or there. 180 people.
And I don't blame any Beaver fan for not wanting to go to the game. But that was the vibe that I got, that the Oklahoma State game had more juice inside the stadium than the Oregon State game did. Which, if you would have said that at the start, I know that the comments were different,
but a lot with that.
It's just like, this is supposed to be a rivalry game, but we know it's not a rivalry game, and we're looking for, you know, moral victories and a 40-point loss. I don't know. I prefer giving it a couple of years to kind of reset things and see where the programs are at instead of playing it in 2 years. Doesn't mean that Oregon State can never be competitive in the game, but there isn't any juice around it. It feels like on either side, and Oregon State has to do these like graphics of like rivalry, Civil War Day, nothing civil about it, and it's... Jesus. I mean, they have to do it. I don't blame them. They're doing what they need to do in their job as social media coordinators, but I just kind of roll my eyes at it, and I imagine most people on that side of the rivalry do, too.
Well, you know, look, there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. I watched closely, and I'm like, oh, look at that. Oh, that's the band. Because the band travels.
The band was there, yeah.
They do the O and the OSU on the field thing. It's cute.
Yes, they do.
And then I looked around for orange shirts, and I'm like, there's one. There's three. Okay. About what I thought, you know, attendance-wise from the Oregon State side, I don't blame anybody for going because, you know, maybe they've been doing it their whole lives. I also don't blame anybody for not going because it just doesn't feel the same. I hear everything you're saying, and if you would have listened to all of last week's shows, you would have heard me on the radio saying, kill it, I don't want it, schedule a patsy, win, 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 win. I don't know why, but I think I had the takeaway of like, okay, next year they won't play, and then they got to go back to Autzen again, and then they get them in research.
Then you get them back in Corvallis.
I'm cool with it. I'm cool with seeing it. Now, I don't like the time of the year that's played.
No.
I wish that would have been further into consideration. But also, I don't know how the Big Ten, do they do any SEC type? Well, yes, they do, because Notre Dame and USC usually play at the end of the year,
don't
they?
That's the only one.
Okay, so like if you can have one, you can have more than one.
True. I mean, you can. You can figure out a way to do it.
If you could back into Thanksgiving, November-ish time, whenever that would be.
Every conference
cool
can figure
it.
This out. Well, ACC teams do it. Yeah. SEC teams do it. Like
you
every
can have
conference
a late
does
bye.
It.
I think if Oregon and Washington went to them together and said, we would both like to have
end
our in-state
year.
Rivals back, and so it's even, so rather than the... Because they've got that Oregon-Washington game as the...
Yeah, you move it to the midpoint of the season,
so
or whatever week you want to play.
Somewhere else, or earlier in the season, and if they went to them together, they'd probably have a chance to get it done.
Yeah, so like, I'm not arguing the competitiveness of the game. I'm not arguing we're just a coach away. It's like, dude, it's going to take a while to rebuild this thing, okay? They're at a lower level. It is clear they are a mid of the group of six. I'm totally admitting all of this, okay? Right now, they're actually the bottom of the group of six.
Yeah.
Because I think they're one of like six winless teams in the FBS. I have to go look at that to double check it, but I saw a stat. He was either from Clark or Orem. Anyways, I'm just saying, I don't know why, but I think I'm in on it. I'm not getting excited for it every year.
Right. Is it just make you happy to see the uniforms on the field at the same time?
I don't know. I can't really pinpoint it for you, to be honest. I just felt that way watching it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm cool with it coming back.
Okay. I guess the follow-up would be, how many in a row, or is there no limit on this being the outcome of the game to which you're like, why are we still doing this?
Well, as long as, okay, so I don't trust the athletic director of Oregon State. I have zero reason to trust him.
No.
But what I would say is, as long as he pulls his head out of his ass and he schedules absolute patsies outside of the Oregon game.
Then get blown out in the one game, doesn't matter.
And then do your conference stuff. I'm cool with it. If he's going to schedule Texas Tech at Texas Tech for pay to get your ass kicked, well, then it's going to bother me some years more so than others. I just received a text from a little birdie. So you're allotted tickets, right? Oregon allots tickets to Oregon State. They allotted them 3,000, according to this person, and only 1,000 got picked up.
Yeah.
Barely more, this person says. Barely more than Montana State took.
Yeah, because Montana State, that's a chance to go see a game at a big stadium that you don't usually get. That's a unique opportunity for them, where it's not a unique opportunity for Oregon State. And I don't blame any of their fans for not wanting to go. There were a lot of fans that I saw tweeting on our show timeline saying we're not even going to watch the game, and then they ended up tweeting about the game in the first half. So I think that was a little misleading going into it.
Though.
No, because I wouldn't want to watch the game either, and I want anything to do with that. You're probably going to be right. Well, you are right, because they're going to extend the series and they're going to keep playing this. But
is there any room, like, just say hypothetically?
Yes.
Walk with me here for a minute, Andrew. Oregon State's bad.
Yes,
they're bad.
There are five winless.
And yet for some people, the takeaway was, what's wrong with the Ducks?
We'll get to that.
Yes.
We'll get to
it. I'm so excited to play an actual game this weekend. Like
I think they are too.
Yeah. They might lose. I'm okay. I'm willing to accept my fate of getting to watch a game where it's like, hey, there's actual intrigue going into it.
I think we could play a fun game of who is the worst team Oregon's played this season? Oregon State, Oklahoma State, Montana State.
I think it's Oklahoma State.
I mean, my team's pretty bad there, Swigard.
I know.
Your team's in the running. You're in the mix.
I don't think we're in the mix. I think we might be the leader.
I think Northwestern's number one.
Ooh, I think Northwestern would beat us. That's what I'm saying.
I think Northwestern's the best team that they play.
Best team.
That's what I'm saying. I think they're number one. I think Montana State's number two.
I think Montana State's two.
And then it's a battle of the OSUs.
The Beavs did force them to punt twice in the first half.
They did.
Oklahoma State did not do that.
They did not do that. But also, Dante Moore missed a wide open wide receiver a couple times in the first half. So it wasn't like it was anything necessarily that they were doing.
I would bet a large sum of money that most years you're going to go into the game, if not all the years, and you're going to say, we're going to comfortably win the game. But there, imagine a year in like 3 years where OSU has a fun coach, a guy who likes college football and talking to the media.
Will that happen?
And they played patsies. Maybe they have one decent Power Four team in there and they win it. And they're 3-0 going into it. At least in those years, there might be some room of like, can we have?
I mean, we had that last year. Well, Oregon State was undefeated. Oregon barely beat Idaho and Boise State. And the narrative going in was, is this game all of a sudden winnable? Oregon's looked very vulnerable.
You're not wrong.
And the Beavs, I believe the week before, blew out Purdue by like 4 touchdowns at home and ran all over them. I'm pretty sure that was the week before the Civil War last year, and they were undefeated coming into the game, and that was the outcome.
So you give me those years where there's a little buzz, then I'm in on it, and most years you're still going to be like, we're going to blow you out.
We were talking about this on the pregame show, and that was like pulling teeth trying to get 2 hours out of that. It just turned into nostalgia talk of like, hey, what's, you know, let's look back in the, because there just wasn't a lot to preview for this game and not a lot of intrigue in it for me going in. But Dusty brought up the point on the pregame show of Boise State. Oregon until last year had never beaten Boise State before. That's the first time they ever beat them, and they probably should have lost that game if they don't return a kick and a punt.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between saying why can't the rivalry get to that point in my mind and then looking at the situation we're in is that those are one-off games, right? It's like it's a Super Bowl every 3 or 4 years. That becomes a very big deal. I think that's different than playing the rivalry year in and year out. Look, if Oregon State wants to continue to play it, I've always said that I'll defer to what that university wants to do because they were the ones that got the short end of the stick. It was a bummer for me of there's no juice in that game at all. I knew there wasn't going to be any juice. Then you watch the game and you're like, hey, look at that. The uniforms are on the field at the same time. And I got nothing out of it this weekend.
We'll get back into that at the top of the hour here from Dan Lanning and Trent Bray. He's optimistic that this takeaway from the game should make everybody else feel better. So we'll get into that coming up. Let's pause college football, and then we'll get into some NFL coming up next. All right, welcome back in. 6:34 on Portland's sports leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Dirt and Spray, good morning. Happy Monday. Got a tasty little Monday Night Football game we'll get to today. Jared Goff, Lamar Jackson.
What an end to week three. Really excited for that one tonight.
I feel like the sports gods are cursing Sunday Night Football since they gave us Bills Ravens because back-to-back just absolutely awful games. Awful games.
Once again, the countdown clock on never having to watch Russell Wilson play football has started again. We all got distracted when he did that to Dallas's defense last week, and then I think we were once again reminded that Dallas might have the worst defense in the history of the National Football League. And I don't think that's aggressive to say.
I certainly in the running for
they
me.
They are in the conversation as the worst defensive football team that I have ever seen.
I feel like you could make an infomercial commercial. Are you a quarterback struggling with confidence? Can't hit over the middle? Can't get it down the field?
Fans booing you off the field?
Take Cowboy D. The D for you. You could make a commercial with that.
Russell Wilson looked like an MVP candidate 2 weeks ago, and then this weekend he hit
goalposts back-to-back throws.
Their goal line series, I don't even know why I still had the game on. Like, he was so scared of throwing a pick that, like, you're down.
It's
the game
fourth
is over.
And goal, dude.
It's fourth and goal. Just lob it into the end. Who cares if you throw an interception?
This goes back to my original preseason moment. I've had a lot of I'm so wrong on stuff.
Yeah.
The one thing I'm going to die being right on, you should have just went with J-Mo and Dart is your second. Because J-Mo doesn't care about throwing that pick six down two scores at the end of Sunday Night Football.
Nope.
Russ is terrified of it.
He's so scared. I don't know what he's scared of, man.
He wants to get in the Hall of Fame, so he doesn't want his numbers to look bad.
I don't want to skew those numbers late in the career. You got to hold on to that.
By the way, can we just universally agree here?
Yeah.
Even Seahawk fan. Come on, Seahawk fan. Let's admit this. Let's all say it together.
Take a deep breath.
Not a Hall of Famer.
I'm okay with that take.
Not even in consideration for me.
Oh.
Hall of good.
Not even like a thought. Not even
a
fart in the wind. Nothing
Hall
like
of
that.
Good, blessed with the Legion of Boom. Hall of good. He had some good seasons after Legion of Boom, but
not
a Hall of
you bring it up in the conversation once so you can talk everybody through it so you never have to talk about it again.
Give me a baseball player that never made the Hall of Fame that you think is the Russell Wilson of this. Because even Dale Murphy has two MVPs.
Yeah, I know.
I see your take. I don't know if you're going to end up being
Give
right,
me his numbers.
Though. 4,600 passing yards.
46,000?
46,000, sorry. 46,000. Okay. 353 career touchdowns to 114 career interceptions.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up, give me another quarterback like from a recent era that is a Hall
of Fame.
That just got in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean,
what's Philip Rivers going to, are they going to put Philip Rivers
in? I think his numbers will be better this year, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Philip Rivers probably will be in.
But
did Eli just get in? But he's got the two rings, but
Eli's
I guess
got two rings and
no, Eli didn't get in the
he
first
He didn't get
one.
In the first time.
He wasn't first ballot.
Yeah. I always forget the last class. Ballot. So obviously Rivers played for longer. So yeah, 63,000 yards, 421
that's
touchdowns.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, played on the Chargers when the Chargers were really chargering.
He did. I mean, he was very good. They had a lot of years where they didn't win playoff games, but it wasn't necessarily his fault.
No.
A lot more interceptions, though, for Philip Rivers.
How many more games do the Colts win before you say out loud, the Colts are a wagon? Because I might be pretty close to it.
I don't know why we were all too scared to touch that line.
Oh, I mean, I gambled it for myself.
Yeah, but why didn't anybody strike the line on that? The Titans are terrible.
I don't know.
I just, yeah,
I can't
that was
tell
one.
You why you picked what you picked, or that Swag was picked what he picked.
One in hindsight for me that I'm just like, why was I so scared of not believing? Because it's not even necessarily for me this weekend about are the Colts good or not, which
it's about how I bad mean, the Titans
it's
are.
About how bad the Titans well, we might be the worst room. Team in the NFL.
I was listening to stuff all week and I kept hearing, like, oh no, man, Saints plus 7.5 could be live.
Right.
I'm like, that game was over within 4 minutes. No,
they own the big dog to cover, I believe. Well, I guess the Jets covered a decent number, and then the Browns covered their spread, obviously, and winning the game outright. But yeah, I think the Titans are, or excuse me, the Colts are, they're encroaching there. If they're not there right now, they go at the Rams, home against the Raiders the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, so about two more games for you if the Colts can win two more games?
Yeah, or even just win one of the two and they look good doing it. If they're 4-1 at the five game mark.
Would you bet them to win their division now that Texans are 0-3 and the Jags are terrible?
Without a doubt, I would bet them.
I think I would too.
I am off of the Houston Texans.
Oh,
that organization
Lord.
Sucks. CJ Stroud sucks. Everything about them sucks, and I'm done with the Houston Texans.
An all-time fun sports / gambling moment in the history of the NFL happened yesterday.
Fun for who?
Not somebody on the show, that's for certain. So the Rams are up, and or the Rams are down one. It's 27-26. Now, the spread, even for you non-bettors out there, is 3.5, okay? That's the number the Rams need to cover.
They just need to lose the game by three, so they're fine.
Yes, so this field goal wins them the game outright, but even if the guy misses, they still cover the number. So a lot of people are sitting like, I'm going to win no matter what happens here. And then this transpired.
The ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's blocked! It's blocked! It's picked up by the Eagles. Running with it is Davis. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Game over! Jordan Davis!
Are you kidding me?
Locked him again!
Are you kidding me?
Locked him again! Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, I had Merrill Reese on the call on WIP Radio. I literally sounded like the color analyst there. I'm just like, an all-time bad beat.
I'm glad you had a good time. Glad you enjoyed watching that.
I really did. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at just how ridiculous that is.
I'm glad it was enjoyable. I'm going to laugh at all your pain the rest of the season.
Jordan Davis.
That might be the worst beat of my entire life. I'm never going to have a worse beat than that.
It's hard to find one, dude.
You cannot find me a worse beat that I have ever taken or anybody gambling has ever taken than that.
That is a defensive tackle running 18 miles an hour after blocking the kick and his teammate perfectly pushing everybody out of his way so he can scoop.
Yeah.
Game is over. It is zeros on the scoreboard at the clock.
The Rams holder
and he didn't stop.
Was literally right there with the ball. And if he just grabs the ball, the game, it's over and
it's
covered
over.
The number.
Yeah.
They don't return it for a touchdown.
Yeah.
But he got turtle arms and got scared of some big guy falling on him and didn't even try and reach for it.
Wouldn't
the
you?
Ball was right there. You POS, grab the football. That might have been, I took the Buccaneers in my survivor pool this weekend. And in a 10-minute span, I watched my biggest ticket of the weekend go up in flames because they allowed a block. By the way, they led the game 26-7 in the
26-7 in
the
that
game's
game.
Over. I've mentally cashed the ticket. The bet's done. The game's over. I got a win and spray in the line.
You
it's
mentally
over.
Cashed
it's
it.
It's 26-7.
I know, but the
and they're
are
a 3.5-point underdog.
Those are good.
They just got to lose the game by three.
Well, Jalen Hurts on the other side.
In a typical Jalen Hurts fashion, if they don't block a field goal and run it back, he loses. But I digress.
Well, he threw for 226, three tutties, looked pretty good in the clutch time, 21-32 for the
threw
game.
His first touchdown pass of the year. Congratulations
to Jalen
Hurts.
Three, actually.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. You know who has more touchdown passes than him on
that
the season?
Doesn't matter.
Mac Jones does.
Yeah, who has more wins?
Who has? Well, actually, Mac Jones is undefeated as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, but who has
so
more wins?
He doesn't have the opportunity to have three wins.
Three of those, not two of those.
Mac Jones has also started one fewer game and has more passing yards on the season than Jalen Hurts does.
Desperation
but,
hour.
You know, why would we consider Jalen any
Hurts
of that?
Does push.
Look, that was brutal to have that happen, and then the Bucs give up a blocked field goal, ran back for a touchdown, and almost lose my survivor pool in the span of 10 minutes. That was nearly the worst Sunday of my life. Glad you had fun.
We had more NFL dealings. I feel like I'm actually going to drive you to punch me in the face, but
yeah, it might happen if you keep on this one. It might happen today.
The karma of all your Jalen Hurts comments caught up to you this weekend in a bad way.
I mean, he still sucks, but
I mean, he does, and he won. He's undefeated, just 21-32.
Okay, Emmanuel Acho.
Whoa, I'm employed.
Yeah, well, he is too. He's on YouTube.
Oh, self-employed. More NFL dealings. What's going on in the National Football League? We'll get to that coming up next. Dirt and Spring on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm here for you, buddy. It's okay. Welcome back in. We'll dive into the Civil War at 7, get some college football dealings. The most shocking thing in all of sports from the weekend for me was something that was way off the board.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it happened until it ended. I paid no attention to that game.
I didn't either.
I had no idea. Then I woke up and was like, wait a minute, what?
Thought my phone was broken.
Huh?
I'll tell you what that is.
No chance that happened.
Well,
no chance.
Many would say no chance this happens either.
Good snap. Good hold. The kick is on the way. The kick is good! The kick is good! And Andre Schmidt from 55!
Kevin Kugler, Fox Sports. The Browns beat the Packers yesterday.
In the NFL. Hello. What a weekend.
I that's why I will always love that league. I will always love that league because nobody can answer how that happens.
No, Jordan Love threw some really dumb passes and an incredibly stupid and bad interception, and it was all of a sudden
was terrible.
It just was so bad, and it was the weekend for whatever reason. I don't know what coaches found and how they figured it out. It was the weekend of blocked field goals. The Packers were driving to take the lead. How much time was left when they attempted their game-winning field goal? 30 seconds? 20? Whatever it was. Not a lot of time. They're kicking the game-winning field goal after all of that. If they make it, they win. The Browns block it. They get it. They have run a couple of plays. They kick the game-winning field goal. You had the Bucs situation where it's run back for a touchdown. You have the Rams going for the win and the Eagles run it back. There's probably more than I'm forgetting. It just turned into like a weekend. All of them in that 10 a.m. window. It felt like it was just this like block field goal, block, over and over and over again. Insane. It was 27 seconds left on the clock. The Packers are going for the win. And they lost the game in regulation in a tie game. Insane that they lost that game.
To a winless Cleveland team with no offense.
I will tell you this, though.
There's no offense to speak of. That defense is good.
That defense playing them in Cleveland is something that I want nothing to do with.
I agree 100%.
I think they're a little bit different on the road, as most teams are. But them playing at home, that pass rush, I want nothing to do with that Browns defense. And they're going to keep them in every single game this season.
A lot of bad quarterback play yesterday around the National Football League.
There was. That Jordan Love interception when they're leading late in the game, he threw it right to a defender inside his own, 30-yard line? Just a horrible, horrible throw.
It wasn't great, Bob. It wasn't great. Marcus got a win.
He did, yeah.
Commies had a nice little post game. I don't know what it is. He is the nicest person to maybe ever put on shoulder pads. We would all agree with that.
Yeah.
He has this thing now where when he starts, he wins, and the internet does this, like, I don't know, this weird kind of celebration with his post game as if he's not won a game in a decade every time. He wins a game with the Eagles. Yeah. You know, I've stayed with it. I love God. And then, like, everybody on the internet, it couldn't be a better person.
Yeah.
Every stop he's made, post the Titans, the Raiders, he gets a win.
Hey, you know he's a stand-up guy.
Oh, yeah, it's been tough. Eagles, it's been tough. The Commanders, It's just like, I feel like I'm seeing the same thing every stop he makes when he gets a win.
Look, I always love seeing the go get a win. That game for me was more about, what the hell, Raiders? What about that culture and building and hiring the guy to reset things and Geno Smith being an upgraded quarterback? And that was
Geno
a rough
wasn't
one.
Awful yesterday.
I'm not saying he was awful.
Defense is not very good.
It's a process.
It is. I'm not saying. Look, it's three Thank weeks you. Into the season. I'm not eliminating anybody yet. But that was they got blown out.
How many Dan Quinn memes have there been already?
I mean, yeah, he ran him over and gave him a bloody nose on the sideline. Marcus did. He roughed him up.
Do you know the Broncos and the Raiders have the same record?
I do.
Those feel like two different very 1-2s, don't they?
Very different 1-2s at this point in the season. One I trust a little bit more. The other one, the jury is still way out on what's going on.
Two-game lead in their division already.
How about that?
How about that? Yeah, how about that?
Shocking.
No, not shocking to some.
Well, touche.
Hey.
Is there a really good team that you don't buy at all? In the really good category?
Talk to me after tonight about the Ravens if things don't go well.
Oh, really? The Ravens would be 1-2. I mean, either team loses tonight.
You would write
off
the Ravens in that division? The Steelers' defense still blows.
Not in that division, but if you want to talk about...
The Bengals are broken.
The Steelers got a fumble at the 1-inch yard line to win that game outright.
I'm telling you straight up, as a better of the Steelers, they had like 3 turnovers in the end zone to win that game. They should have maybe lost that game.
Right.
A good team that I'm not buying. I will say what Green Bay did offensively this weekend scared the living bejesus out of me, even though I know Cleveland's defense is very good. Mm. And I don't have a lot of fear about Green Bay's defense, right? Like, they got a good defense, and I think they're going to carry them in a lot of games. There was some fearful moments watching that offense this weekend. And really, in their first 2 games, they have won in dominant fashion. It wasn't necessarily their offense lighting the opponent on fire. It was more about their defense being advantageous and forcing turnovers, giving them short fields, and Love would make a nice throw when they hit a chunk play. And you're like, all right, look at that. They're up by 2 touchdowns. They're going to run away with this game.
Well, their best target is Kraft.
Right. That's
the question about them is who is, like,
a bit of a problem.
Is Golden's not a go-to yet.
No, as a rookie, he's not there yet.
Reed just got hurt. We have no idea what the timeline is on Watson yet. Dobbs is fine. Like, I think that would be their what's going to eliminate Green Bay. It's this lack of separation and a defense saying, oh, you go to Kraft. Okay, we'll take him away. Now what?
Yeah, what are your other weapons?
And I still think Green Bay's very good. I don't know if I would choose them, but... To your point, like, yesterday's an example of, well, how does Green Bay not get to an NFC title game? That.
Yeah.
Right there. Josh Jacobs largely shut down, Love's meh.
Throws a bad pick in a bad moment. It makes you scream at your television.
Yep.
And
they just have those moments.
Yeah, other than that, I don't, like, everybody else that's good, it's like, nobody's, like, we're not questioning Philly. They won the Super Bowl last year. Nobody's questioning Buffalo. Nobody's, like, go up and down the list of teams. Maybe the Chargers are that for some people, but I was high on them coming into the year, so there's no question there for me.
Yeah, that was a hell of a comeback, though, because after a great start, the Broncos kind of took control of that game.
I mean, I will say this about the Chargers. That feels like a game, historically, that they lose, that they're 2-0, and they're kind of high on their own supply, and here they come, and then they lay an egg at home, and they had a lead early. There was a deflected interception in the red zone that was kind of a fluky play.
Agreed.
And so that easily could have been a game historically that they lose, and the Broncos are fighting for more at 1-1, trying to get above 500. There's just more on the line for them in that game. And for the Chargers to find a way to win and for Justin Herbert to throw the tying touchdown pass that he threw, that was an insane comeback for them.
The Texans should be thankful today. Last thing I'll say, and we'll get back into the NFL later because we got to go to the second hour. The Texans should be thankful the Falcons exist because, oh my God, I don't know what that was by Atlanta, but...
That offense, both of those offenses are broken. The Falcons not scoring a point. Cutting their kicker, and then how many field goals did their kicker end up missing?
I mean, I don't know.
I think
what's
at least 2.
With...
I don't know how many more. I didn't watch much of that game after it was 24-0.
Penix was really bad in that game.
He was horrible. They were all horrible.
Second pick, I don't know if it's on him, but you threw it anyway. And, like, I don't know what Atlanta does. I don't like their OC. And I think that offensive line pass blocking has him shook a little bit. He's in his own kitchen. He's throwing balls nowhere near people. But yeah. 30 to nothing to the Panthers is just beyond inexcusable. We'll get into some more NFL slate. We'll talk a little bit more about Herbert and Bo Nix. That was a great game yesterday in L.A. A lot of orange. But we'll get to a coach's smorgasbord for the Daily Ticker at 7:30. We kick off hour number two. Optimism from a team that lost 41-7. And Oregon finally plays a real opponent this week. Hour number two, Durant Sprague on 105.1, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.